If you've ever tried to accomplish a job without the right tool, it's frustrating. You work harder and harder, but don't get much out of it. That's why the Bible Study Company was created. It's the right tool to help you study and enjoy reading the Scriptures. Powerful tools have been built into this resource to help regular pew sitters like you and me gain more understanding from what we read. Now, please join founders Rick and Mary Joyner as we dig deeper and find more meaning out of the Bible.
Hi, everyone. This is Rick Joyner and Mary Joyner with Bible Study Company.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here today.
Okay, so what beverage do you have? Because it's the middle of the afternoon.
I have a raspberry blackberry sparkling water unsweetened. Zero calories, and it's really good, actually.
Oh, good. Well, you just had a, when I asked you that question, you just had a big sigh. So why did you have a big sigh?
Because it's the middle of the afternoon, and I'd like to take a nap.
Well, thanks for joining me on that. I think being honest about stuff like that is really good. So what I want to take everybody back to is Bible Study Company is here, and it's a web-based software to help people study Scripture to live a praiseworthy life. That focus is what changed our lives in Bible study. So I'm not trained in biblical studies, although I've gotten trained, and the same thing with you.
Correct. We're being trained as we go along by the Holy Spirit and reading Scripture and being very meticulous about making sure that what we get from Scripture lines up correctly and trying to glean from the Scriptures what we can to live a praiseworthy life in this modern day age.
Yeah, and what I think folks need to know too is that we have a close relationship with loveisrael.org and Dr. Brew Korman. And when we started this several years ago, we ended up going through his videos and kind of dissecting. And some of the things that we dissected, which we're going to talk about today, is Dr. Brook said, we need to change our focus to live a praiseworthy life. And that's a difference in studying Scripture. And we're not studying it just to get knowledge, but we want to get knowledge of God's agenda for our lives and then line our will up with that agenda.
Right. And it's a very good way to begin to learn the character of God, which is very important. We don't think of God as having a character, really. We don't think of him in that way, but he does. And he's very clear in the Scriptures and lays it out for us so that we can see, from my perspective anyway, what I'm learning so far is the love and care that he has for each of his children and how he's giving us patterns in Scripture to follow so that we can live a praiseworthy life if we choose to respond to his instruction.
Right, and I think that's a great segue. I think we should pray and ask the Lord to help us because that's the other thing that we learned. We want to do two types of prayer. One is we want to pray at the beginning because we want his mind, and he gave us the Holy Spirit just to do that. Proverbs 1, which we talked in the other podcast, is our promise. You know, if we decide to listen and turn away from living our own life, then we can live a praiseworthy life to him. So I'm going to have you open if you don't mind.
Lord, I just thank you for this time and this podcast today. And I pray that you help Rick and I to convey the words that are important and leave out the words that aren't, because we can both get sidetracked on things that we don't need to. And I pray for wisdom and knowledge and your help and your Holy Spirit to guide us through this podcast today. And I thank you that you've given us the opportunity to do that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So the other point I was going to make too is when we find a point for prayer is inside of Bible Study Company, when you go to study, you can click on a word and you can make a note, a prayer, or a journal entry. And so you can keep track of your progress as you grow. And it is amazing that you can look back and see 6 months to a year and get a feel for how you're growing. And that's one of the things that Dr. Brook always says is he looks back and kind of sees, you know, a year out, what's changed for him. The other point was we have prayers, which is my point here. And that is when we see something in Scripture, we want to respond correctly. You know, we want to respond. And so that prayer is about responding. And so we have that tool built in.
Right. And I think that's a wonderful thing because we typically choose, I think I do anyway, you don't notice or put a lot of weight on responding to something. It's like you learn something or you find out something about the Lord and it's like, oh, that's really cool. And you close that door because that was your study or your little, you know, time with God, and you go out in the world and you forget about it. And instead of looking at it that this is my instruction and I need to respond to this and practice it throughout my day. To me, that's the cool thing about it. He's our Heavenly Father and He allows us to practice what He's given to us on how to respond. And we might fall down just like you do a child when you're raising a child, but the parent has goal in mind for the child. So they let them fall to some degree, not off a table, but, you know, help them back up and direct them in the way that they should go. And I think that's endearing and also very comforting to me to know that that's how I feel the Lord looks at us, and He's glad when we try to respond. That's our purpose.
Right. And I think one of the interesting things is today we had some errands to run and we were kind of putting this off. And we both decided that we needed to take our time and I don't want to say this like some hyper-spiritual thing, but push through and take time to do this study because we want to start moving through Exodus for the very reason of the fact that this is exciting to us. Like Mary said, once you start to study like this, you guys will find out, you'll start talking about Scripture all the time and where it applies. I think that's a real benefit for going ahead with this podcast and for going through Exodus, because it brings up a question, why go through Exodus? Why is it important? And that's the other thing that Baruch taught us was, why is the Scripture there? Because God is trying to instruct us with every single word. So knowing that, why is it important in your thought process why we started studying Exodus?
Well, I believe that, I mean, throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, the whole pattern is the same, that the Lord is instructing and trying to draw His people to Him, and the people are responding or not responding and getting themselves in mess or getting themselves out of a mess or getting blessed or not getting blessed. But the end result is always that the Lord comes to try to save, including obviously in the New Testament when He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins and actually sent His Son to demonstrate in physical form how a person can respond to His Heavenly Father, right. Even though we can't do it perfectly. So Exodus to me is a good place to start because it's so dramatic. You know, I mean, how dramatic can it be to have a child put in a basket and sent down a river, you know, so that he wouldn't get killed and become a, you know,
a reluctant leader.
Yeah, right. But not in the way that...
And we're reluctant a lot of times.
Well, and a leader, and not in the way that we would think a leader. He had a choice, you know, be right along with Pharaoh and have everything that he wanted at his fingertips. And when God got a hold of him, he responded. And, I mean, he went out and obviously in those 40 years as shepherd, he probably did a lot of falling down and standing up and learning. To me, the beauty of that is that it's apparent that he tried to respond to God, and when he messed up, he responded again, and he was learning to go about his father's business. And when he was ready, the Lord, you know, called him to be a leader, and he reluctantly did it. He didn't want to, but it's so ironic that, you know, he's a leader, but he's a leader of a band of people who were slaves and have nothing, not a leader, you know, with gold chariots, and, you know, just a really neat picture to me. So,
well, and I think that brings in another point too, because when we first started this, we had no idea what we were doing. We just started. Right. And so that was uncomfortable in itself. Mm-hmm. But I think we started asking questions, which is another principle that we want to push out here to people, is you got to start asking questions. So some of the questions that we're going to ask and discuss as we go along in these Exodus studies. For example, one of them is, Lord, and when this is dealt with in the other podcasts, and we're going to deal with it in the future, is, Lord, how do I take your word literally? And that word literally is not the word I'm looking for, but what I'm looking for is, how do I believe what you've said in Scripture? And that takes an act of faith. And so one of the couple of the questions we had, which we wanted to know when we first started, is, we're going to read in just a second, I'll have you read it, but we're going to read all of chapter one just to get a big overview. The thing that we wanted to find out is, we started asking questions like, why did they end up in slavery? It doesn't make any sense. I thought God was watching over them. How did they end up in there? Why did they have to leave Egypt? You know, we're going to talk about, why the wilderness? Why did it take 80 years? You know, what was going on? All these questions that we had. And so what we're going to do is kind of look at Scripture, and there are different ways to study the Bible. There's inductive Bible study and different things, but we're using Baruch's tool of expositional study, where we're going to take out of it. We're not going to try to put into it. I also just got warned that I needed to move along here. So you're pretty good at it, dear.
Chasing squirrels.
Okay, so let's do this. And what we're going to do is, on the face of it, we're just going to read the chapter. And then I know we did a little bit with this, Aaron and Pete, but I just think we'll start this way. This is our very official start.
Let's read.
Okay. Now, these are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. They came each one with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All the persons who came from the loins of Jacob were 70 in number, but Joseph was already in Egypt. Joseph died, and all of his brothers and all that generation. But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, or else they will multiply, and in the event of war, they will also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land." So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor, and they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom, Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. The Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor vigorously, and they made their lives bitter with hard labor and mortar and bricks and all kinds of labor in the field, all their labors which they rigorously imposed on them. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shifra, the other one was named Puah. And he said, "When you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then shall she live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and let the boys live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife can get to them." So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, he established households for them. And then Pharaoh commanded all of his people, saying, "Every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive." So, Mary, is just after reading that, what kind of things do you see out of there?
Well, one of the first things I'm wondering, and I don't know, I think we came to an answer on this, was how many years was it from Joseph dying till the Israelites became slaves? Was it, didn't we think it was like 400 years?
Well, it was 400 years, but it wasn't from when Joseph died. It could have been in that time frame. It could have been.
Well, I was thinking, I guess I'm just thinking from his rulership.
Oh, you know, I see.
Yeah. Taking over that 400 years. I'm thinking, what happened in that 400 years for them to get into slavery when they were, Joseph had made it a godly country, correct? I mean, he was trying to honor God.
That's right.
In it. And we had talked about that. Well, just thinking they had to become melted into the society, and some of them chose to follow God and, you know, keep their faith in God. Some of them probably moved into society, Egyptian culture and all the things that go on with that, adding gods, whatever that means, because then it says that the Pharaoh that became...
He did not know Joseph.
Right, he did not know Joseph. And it got me thinking, does that mean a lot of the people did not know of Joseph either, that were godly people? So they said they grew in number and mighty and success. Well, when I look at it from a physical standpoint of where we are right now in our society, or every society, you see that happen where there's success and things, you know, are great, and then people start taking things for granted and they stop doing the things that they should, and then it crashes, and then it, you know, builds back up.
So from your standpoint, one of the things that I hear you kind of saying, tell me if I'm wrong, but there was something good that took place that God did with Egypt, with Joseph. And that becomes one of our questions. How did this change? How did they go into slavery?
Yeah. And did their children's children not know of Joseph? It talks about the midwives fearing God, which is a wonderful thing, that it shows their faith. They feared God and chose faith in God over their fear of what Pharaoh would do to them if they didn't kill the children.
So we actually have a lot of questions that are bubbling up right now. And that is, why'd they end up in there, especially since the Lord didn't want Abraham out of there? We'll try to answer that. And then...
Well, I was going to say, we know how they ended up in Egypt because of Joseph and him bringing his, you know, after the whole story, and him forgiving his brothers and wanting his father to come there and care for them and giving them places to, you know, to live. And it shows a very clear picture of forgiveness to his brothers and what forgiveness is.
Well, and I think if we take another principle that Dr. Baruch has, and everything in scripture is pointing to the coming Messiah, it's pointing to,
right,
Jesus Christ. So we have a lot of types and metaphors and things going on here too. Mm-hmm. And we need to pay special attention to this, because the problem with this is, one of the things that we discovered when we first started is, we knew this as a Sunday school story. And so sometimes as Christians, we get locked into, we just read the New Testament. We don't read the Old Testament. But even if we do read the Old Testament, we're not locking into why these things are here. And one of the things that we discovered is the Bible is written pretty much to people who are already believers that are messing up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So since I count for that, I...
Well, and separating through all of the Old Testament, I mean, the culture, and that, you know, getting hung up on, well, I don't get this, you know, why did this happen? That shouldn't be that way. That's old fashioned, or that's whatever. And being able to actually put yourself in, separate that out and put yourself in your emotion and your own self in that situation, so that you can get, you know, because like we've said before, people don't change. They had fear, they had anxiety, they had happiness.
Well, and that's that principle that you just talked about, that people don't change. So we might not live in that culture that they are, but we can immerse ourselves in how we would respond if we were in a terrible strait like this, and it was getting worse. And I think that immersing ourselves was one of the things when we started asking questions of the Lord, he impressed upon us to do that. Be the people that are there. I mean, think about how you would live. How would your children react? What would you want to do? What's going on in our society right now? And that was another principle that you and I wanted to find out. We wanted to take what was going on in Exodus and bring it forward. Mm-hmm. And so we were experiencing an exodus of ourselves, even though that we were Christians, but we wanted something more out of studying the Bible. You studied by yourself. I studied by myself. I wouldn't even call it study. I just read devotions. I mean, I didn't know really what I was doing until going to Love Israel and watching the videos.
Yeah, and the whole this whole story where the end of it comes down to, you know, that every son that's born will be thrown in the Nile. Because, you know, he went around what the women saved the babies, and he went around another way, you know, to try to kill those boys. But the Lord still found a way for his purposes to be fulfilled through Moses. And that's an interesting thing for me there, too, is that as we're reading through that, you know, looking at the midwives, looking at Joseph, I know that's not an Exodus, but it always boils down to people hearing from God and the ones who hear from him and choose to respond to his ways. The purposes are fulfilled. And but like I've always told my kids, God's purposes are going to be fulfilled one way or the other. If, you know, if he goes to somebody and they don't respond, it'll happen somewhere else because God's purposes will be fulfilled. So, you know, I'd rather jump on the bandwagon of being a part of the fulfilling of God's purposes than passing it by if I can. And that's one of the big things that I'm learning out of Exodus is watching these people and identifying on both sides, identifying with the people who are complaining and scared and the people who are, and identifying with Moses sometimes where, you know, he's responding and the Lord's giving him more authority to do things in his name because he's doing it in his name. Those are all very important learning tools of learning the character of God and learning how to look at how I apply that to my life and choose to either, like I said, respond or not.
Well, and I think too, you know, we're pulling out like what you brought up with these women who are brave, and somebody said that courage is really doing the right thing in the face of fear. So this is a big deal because anytime anything ends up in scripture like this, it's a big deal because the Lord's trying to teach us something. So the fear of the Lord, you're going to be, regardless of government officials, of people who say, don't practice your faith. And it feels like that's what's coming on, you know, coming right now. But anyway, the point is that they had the fear of the Lord. So then it became a question to us, what is the fear of the Lord? And we came to the conclusion that it's the fear to offend. They'd rather not offend God. In other words, that makes it praiseworthy for us mm-hmm. is to have the fear of the Lord so that we turn away from sin. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it, they turned away from Pharaoh towards God because they had greater fear of him.
Well, and the difference is that having fear of the Lord, the type of fear that I think they're talking about is like you said, fear to offend, but not fearing to offend because he's going to come down with a hammer and smash you. It's because the gratitude and the love that you have, understanding this is my Father, Heavenly Father that created me and loves me. I don't want to hurt him.
That's exactly right.
And the fear of Pharaoh is the real fear of, you know, that this dude's going to kill me, you know.
Did you just say dude?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's do that. Let's shift over here towards some of the, I hate to call them motifs, but let's do that because right now in verse one, you have, and the other thing that's important is at, a principle is details. what Brooke always says, what's changed in the scripture? What's out of place? There may be some revelation there. Now, we aren't going to get into our Bible studies with grammar, but what we can do in our Bible studies is we can click on the word. And in Bible Study Company, when you click on the word, you can actually get the Strong's definition. Now, another principle that's available is, Brooke said, let's follow the theme of this word or definition through Scripture. Mm-hmm. And when you see it first show up in Scripture and all the way through the Bible, the theme will develop itself. So, like, for example, Egypt is a theme, and Egypt is a metaphor. If you were to click on Egypt in Bible Study Company, it would come up and it would show a metaphor for the world system. And Egypt indeed was the most powerful country in the world. And if you do some research that we did on the side, and that's what this kind of study says, because how do you immerse yourself without knowing what's going on in their lives? The interesting thing about the world is they exported their absolute wicked religion around the world. And but anyway, the point for here is the very first parts of the verse into several of them, all the way down into verse 6, is we have names. Now, these are the names of the sons of Israel who came out of Egypt with Jacob. So the names are very important. And what you can do is to find why these are important, if you click on Jacob, and you'll notice a menu comes up and you see A to Z on it. Click on Jacob. And what you'll do is you'll open up a window that has an analysis there. And if you click on the Strong's link there, you'll see the Hebrew word for Jacob. And the Hebrew word means heel grabber and supplanter. Now, right here is what you'd have to do is go back into Genesis, because if you look on the right-hand side, you'll see the references, and it says Strong's Concordance, and it goes back and it starts talking in Genesis 25 about Jacob and Esau. These are fundamental stories. Now you can go back and take a look at and see. Jacob deceived his brother. He operated in the flesh. He operated to get something that he shouldn't have. That's the ultimate in selfishness. Esau had his own problems, but you're going to see.
He operated in the flesh too. It's just two different, you know, scenarios, but they both wanted something that only the Lord could give them.
Yeah. So if we go back and we take a look at some of the other names, like Reuben is the firstborn. And if you look at Reuben, one of the things that you start to see, the name Reuben comes from behold a son, and it's the oldest son, the firstborn of Jacob. And what's interesting, Mary, is that now we get into the whole area. Remember when we did this and we saw the tremendous pain that Leah, his wife, because there was a deception from Leah and Rachel's father. Jacob loved Rachel, Leah he didn't. And if you're doing an immersion, you can start to see the pain that's involved when you're not loved by your husband. And she names Reuben, behold a son, and maybe my husband will love me. And it's just really sad. And those type of things go on in the world all the time. How does somebody respond to praiseworthy like that? We want to open our eyes to what's going on around the world and in around our world.
Well, and even to read through, knowing that just that little tidbit that you talk about, and seeing how she responded and how she, you know, what happened. I mean, we have only so much information. The point is that this is just to give an idea of how this can open up a whole nother world for you in studying Because, you know, to go through all these names and do that could be laborious for us on here, but it's actually fun when you're doing it mm-hmm. on your own and trying to figure out and taking time to, you know, say, I'm going to look this person up and go further into the scripture and see what, you know, what went on in their lives and get a better picture for what's happening. And they're all, like I said before, they all can be examples of who heard from the Lord and who responded and who didn't respond, and the outcome of that. And a lot of times it's the mercy and the grace that God had to come back. And I mean, like Jacob is a good example, because he, you know, he stole the birthright, and then he did this thing with Leah. And to me, that's, you know, making those choices that he made were consequent. There's consequences of his sin, but there's also, you can also see the other side of the blessings of God it shows us in human form failing and responding. Some of us turning and responding, some of us not. You know, some of them are very sad, tragic stories. Some of them are redemptive stories. It just depends on the situation, just like is today. Yeah. Just like it has been forever.
And that's a really good point, because all of these names, just like she says right here, she says, because the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me. Well, that whole thing about the Lord seeing, she's in pain, and we can focus on her pain, but the Lord is also, one of his character quality is he sees, and he is watching for us. He's deeply concerned about what takes place and how we're treated and what's our response going to be. He's more than willing to help us at any turn there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're kind of off on, not on Exodus, it's the story right before that, but it plays a part.
But that was my point. My point is, when you start to study scripture, you go backwards and you go forwards.
Right.
And it's so exciting, because now it's almost like the Bible has a three-dimensional aspect to it. It's like a big circle.
Right.
And
that's been the biggest thing for me, because I just read the scripture and I didn't understand half of it, and, you know, but I wanted to do it. And then actually, it's the salvation of having the Holy Spirit unfold. You can read this as a person not being saved and read the stories and say, oh, this was a bad story, this was a whatever. But when you read it with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the dimension is so much deeper and so much more becomes.
Well, and I think that's worthwhile talking about, because if you stumble onto this podcast and you want to study the Bible because you want to learn something about it, that's terrific. But you got to understand it's a spiritual book.
Spiritualized to understand it.
Well, and if it's God's book, then he needs to give us his spirit. And that's where Proverbs 1 comes in.
Mm-hmm.
He promises to give that to us if we'll turn and start asking him mm-hmm. questions. And then wherever you're at, be sure to ask him and Christ, if you get to that point, to come into your life
mm-hmm.
and ask him to open up your eyes so that you can do his will, because that'll change everything. If you're reading this book, and I've seen folks who've done it in that juvenile prison that we go to, that they can read it and not have any clue what they're reading. It's boring and dry. It doesn't mean anything. But once they ask the Lord and turn towards him to live a praiseworthy life or open up their eyes, all of a sudden the scripture comes.
Well, and not even that, but Christians can read it and it can be dry and and just because there's more to it than just reading it, because I got to get up and read the Bible. You know, I'm going to read my
I did my checklist.
Yeah. There's a different level to it when you're reading it for the purposes of and asking the Holy Spirit to help you, you know, open your eyes to it. Just like when Saul's eyes were opened, I mean, he was the highest a Sadducee, right?
Paul. Yeah, Paul. Mm-hmm, Paul. Mm-hmm.
And on the road to Damascus. So when Paul's eyes were opened on the road to Damascus, he was a Sadducee who knew backward and forward the readings of Torah, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't see, he didn't know, because, you know, just like many Christians or anybody can get into a performance or just going by the book of that and then adding something else to go by that so that you don't do a, you know, that you just put your own dogma on it.
Well, and I think it's important to state this at this time, because Dr. Brook always talks about the fact that the more we study and the more we're serious about responding to God correctly, the more God will open up the doors, because it's his word that we have to be responsible for. Right. So I'm excited about doing this type of study, especially with you, and how scripture invades our lives. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things, it's kind of like your own personal Jumanji book, because what happens is as you start to study scripture, there's so many metaphors and symbols, because I think Exodus is a picture of our Christian life. It's a pattern. And when we'll start to invade our lives. And that's one of the things that I think you started to say at the very beginning was, what takes place in our lives is he starts to bring examples of in our real lives. And that's why our ears and eyes have to be open to live a praiseworthy life, because he almost like lets us be demonstrated how they would have felt in something. Right. So as sort of a recap on this, from your perspective, because we're going to go into the next podcast, what are you taking out of this short, brief overview type study?
Lots of questions. I'm taking out that the main thing, obviously, for me is the thing with the Hebrew women, because that's a big one for me, mm-hmm. that they put their trust and faith in God, which would be a spiritual, not a physical thing. But putting their spiritual faith and trust in God could have a physical consequence to them. And
yeah.
I'm sure they knew that. So, that's pretty awesome to me that they chose to do that. And then from there, it says that God, you know, made sure that he established a household for them, took care of them.
And so that's another metaphor, is we're going to see house, we're going to see name, we're going to see God's character. God's character is in his name.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are some of the recurring themes. And then we're going to start asking big questions. Why Egypt? What does Egypt mean in scripture? Where can we go to find these things? And the most wonderful thing is, how can we respond to God and start to take a look at these questions that we're getting? Because now we have a collision here in Exodus of Jacob's family that almost starved. So why is there starvation in Canaan if God's people are there? And then why did Joseph go through all that? What does all that mean? And then slavery, how does all this go? Because remember, the Lord Jesus himself said, if you're a slave to sin, you're in slavery too. So we've got these things going on, and it's starting to show up here. So I think for our next podcast, we'll look at that. But what are the thoughts do you have that we could close this podcast out for? How do we respond to the Lord on our first podcast like this?
Well, I believe that getting before the Lord and asking him to reveal himself to you and asking him to open up your eyes and asking him, I don't mean to say ask like in a selfish way, but it's help me, Lord, to hear your word and hear your voice and have the strength to do what you're calling me to do. Give me my spiritual eyes that I know you created me. You created me a spiritual being. I put it all out there. I surrender completely to hear how you want me to respond to you. And that's how I take this first chapter.
I think that's fabulous, actually. And I also think that we're going to be serious about responding to God's word. And
the key thing is each of us responding individually in how God calls us to respond. You know, in this situation, it's pretty cut and dried. We either respond to God and take the chance that Pharaoh's going to kill us,
mm-hmm.
or we respond to Pharaoh and go down a different path. That's what I want. I want to be able to respond but I want blinders on to not be looking at who's on this side of me and this side of me
for
and
seeing comparison.
How they're responding.
Yeah.
I want to respond. And that's, I think that's one of the biggest things for all of us as humans is, you know, Lord, give me those blinders to focus on you and me. You're my father. I'm your daughter. Help me to respond to you and what you want for me.
And I think that's really a good contrast between what we're also doing here and that those hard questions, like what about the creation, the 6 days? What about you responding to us? These hard questions that we have, what we've learned is they're there, but a lot of times Christians and people don't ask them, ask the Lord those questions. And we're going to ask those hard questions. Mm-hmm. And you should too, because the Lord wants us to have, he gave us reason and logic and questioning to probe. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited.
It's always, I guess this is off the subject, but it reminded me of it that I get so tired of people saying, I'm not going to read the Bible or I'm not going to follow that, you know, the Christian faith. That's just a bunch of, you know, they tragic wars and women being abused and
slavery.
All these different things. But they'll go to a Renaissance festival and dress up like, you know, somebody who, I mean, do you want to talk about...
like a barmaid or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real thing. The scripture is real and things happened imperfectly and people are people. If it was just God and there weren't people and the whole thing with Adam and Eve, it wouldn't be that situation, but it is. But that's not God's fault and it's not God who... I mean, God is the... Savior, God is the one who's always bringing us back and trying to pick us up and clean us up and point us in the right direction. One of the main problems is we don't want to respond. We want to put God into our box of what we think it should be so that it fits with our life.
Right.
But it's very tiring for me to hear. I'm not all these people who say, you know, the Bible is just a bunch of whatever, but they've read maybe a page of it. They've never dug down deep, but they'll, you know, and I'm not trying to talk bad about anybody. I'm just saying, because I was there at one point, I just didn't pay any attention to it. But if you're going to take the time to study something and you're going to take the time to say it's really bad, then you probably should
know what you're talking about
and talk with people and, you know, find a balance in it. But
yeah, I just think it's what you just said is true. So I think we can close this podcast out with the different things that we, you know, talked about, which we did. Then I think we'll go into digging into some of the names and some of the other principles for next time. So mm-hmm. This book starts to get really exciting, and think about what you're going to be doing as you go forward in the book. Pray over the scripture. Ask the Lord, why are these questions coming up? Like a big one is, how'd they end up in slavery anyway? Mm-hmm. How'd they end up there? And that was a big question for us when we first started.
I think that should be the start of our next podcast.
Is how'd they end up in slavery?
I
think there's some real revelation that the Lord showed us. All right. Well, we'll pray and we'll close this out. And Father, I just want to thank you for this time that we had. Lord, help us turn our hearts towards you, and you turn your face towards us, and we'll turn our face towards you and have a relationship with you. And Lord, we just ask that your kingdom come on us and your will be done. And Lord, those that haven't asked you into their lives, do so now. And Lord, we love you and we appreciate you and we thank you for this time together. Mary, thanks very much. How's your beverage?
Just about gone.
Okay. Well, thanks. We'll see you in Exodus 2 podcast. Podcast for Pew Sitters. You like that, don't you?
I do. Podcast for Pew Sitters.
Yep. That's
see you
us.
Later.
Bye.